infection. These cells are like nothing I've ever seen before. They're intelligent. It's as if each cell is a microcosm of the larger being. The vampire? Yes. If I expose them to unhealthy or toxic cells, they retreat. They will find a safe range and somehow modify the cells that are toxic. Somehow they communicate and modify any cells around them. Then when the timing is right, they attack, surrounding the cells and consuming them, creating an exact replica, and the cycle continues. It's as if they have their own will and they can manipulate matter. I think that is how they can be undead yet alive. The cells travel on their own accord. I think that's why you can smell him outside the decontamination chamber. He's modifying the cellular structure of his cell. He's turning his cell into a vampire? It would take thousands of years, but in essence, yes. A cold chill went through the room. Chris, be quiet. Chris was listening. They heard a faint laughter come from deep below in the complex. The lights flickered, then went dead. A couple seconds later, they flickered back on. Mr. Dark was furious. Completely unacceptable. Chris cleared his throat. Well, I think I'm on to something. There are some new procedures that insert genes into the bone marrow of mice. I found the gene I think is responsible for the cell's vampiric activity. I think using retroviral-based vectors to transfer a gene into murine bone marrow cells, we could flip the gene off and return him to normal, if his body can withstand the transformation. Fascinating. However, as of now, the safety of these procedures still haven't been established by animal studies, and human clinical trials are considered unethical. But I think our case is outside the norms. Flipping genes on and off? Well, yes, in a way. But one thing, we'd be inserting a ticking time bomb into the human race. If he had kids and the recessive genes reflipped, from what I've seen, not only would an infant vampire be born, it would probably infect and consume the mother as well. Not that that vampire down there has a good chance of a dating life. But there is a cure, in theory. Get on it. Work on a cure. If there are more of those things out there and we could produce a vaccine or cure, do it. He had run every test he knew. He had read up on all the folklore and history he could. His home life was in shambles, but that was nothing new. He threw himself into vampirism as much as he did anything else. He was reading a story about a corpse found in Venice. Scientist Orville Baracci discovered during the plague, grave diggers had little knowledge of science. If they found a corpse that looked too alive or natural, the corpse may have been alive or in a coma, but would have been staked and not even checked for a heartbeat. Dang, well that's brutal, the stake to the heart thing. It seems so simple. A heartbeat? Has anyone ever checked his vitals? Chris jumped up, spilling his coffee. He ran to the elevator. He met Mr. Dark in the hallway to Mark's cell. We need to see if he has a working heart. The cells are each individual organisms, and as far as I can tell, he is just a host. So, what holds him together? What's with the traditional stake to the heart? If he doesn't have a heart, what's the point? Well, since we're on the other side of science, it's his will, or the cell's collective will, or his soul. If each cell is entirely independent, he would be highly contagious. Surprise just being around him hasn't caused an outbreak, and his will upon others, that creepy, confusing shit Mark does, could just be completely cellular. Impossible. Well, what are we but a bunch of cells? He's not much different. It may be the key of how to kill him or them. I don't know. That's what we need to find out. I theorize the cells just move each other, call to each other. They all are independent. Technically, one could fall on the floor and create a new one. The smell. They stopped and looked at each other. Chris raised his eyebrows, then rubbed his forehead. That first day I talked to him, he said he called friends. I missed it. It was so casual. He is calling things.
What things?
Who knows? But if there are any more like him out there, he is for damn sure calling them. I can tell you from my studies, the cells of the others will hear it. Chris looked in disgust at the hazmat suits. They all made him feel claustrophobic, especially the level A ones. He went for level B. They protected against the same respiratory threats and had the same liquid splash protection. Plus, it was easier to put on, and he could do it by himself. Buzz me in, boss. The guard at the entrance to Mark's lair nodded and opened the first door. Sunlight streamed in from above. Chris walked down the hall. It was hard not to feel like a badass wearing these suits once the claustrophobia wore off. High-tech shit. What's up now, Mark? He was almost used to this procedure now. He watched someone do it every day. Buzz in, tell Mark to sit in the chair, clamps go down, blood is drawn, Mark gets fed. Chris had not seen that part yet. Figured he didn't need to. Chris pushed the intercom and looked at Mark on the video feed. All right, Mark, have a seat if you could. I put in a request for that red wine. Mark looked directly up into the monitor. Can you petition the Lord with prayer? Chris's hands instantly started to sweat, his mouth dry as a windswept arid wasteland. How Mark made Chris lose his cool, scatter him in a thousand different shards. Chris hated it. He put his hand on the wall to steady himself, hoping not to vomit in a hazmat suit. He tried to clear his mind and open the door. Mark sat in a chair, metal constraints clamped over his ankles, wrist, biceps, neck, and head. Chris entered the room. So humiliating. I hope we never see the day when our roles are reversed. I don't think letting you go would be such a good idea. I'll remember that, Chris. He hesitantly approached Mark and reached out to place the stethoscope on Mark's heart. The seconds ticked by. Chris readjusted the stethoscope. It had a long tube that tucked into his suit. He adjusted it again and made the mistake of meeting Mark's gaze. Mark smiled and exploded into a mist of blood. Blood covered Chris's face, shield, his suit. The blood fell to the floor in a pool, then started rising. Chris screamed and wiped his face shield. He could barely see. He spun wildly and stumbled for the door. The blood rose. It was flowing, rocking in the room up to his ankles. Already he made it to the first decontamination chamber and slammed the button. He turned to the camera. Decon me! Decon! Turn on the fucking hoses! A toxic cleansing shower poured down on him. He stood there. It was strange to shower with no water actually touching your skin. He was shaking. He thought of all the predatory actions he's seen Mark's cells do. The dance of death. He looked up into the spray of sanitizer and wiped his face shield. He wiped it again. There was a thin mist of vapor inside his mask, coagulating into tiny droplets before his eyes. Level B suits don't protect against vapor. He was contaminated. The shower stopped. He forced himself to walk out of the room. He took off his suit. There was a chance he didn't have any blood on his skin, but he probably inhaled some of the blood mist. He soaked the suit in a decontamination dunk tank, later to be incinerated, and casually wiped his nose. He looked down. A thin trail of blood was on his index finger. It looked like the smear of an insane clown's lipstick, but it was blood, and it wasn't his. Single phase change. Simple Chem 101. The ability for substances to change from one state to another. The secret to all life on Earth. He looked in the mirror. The mist had condensed into a little drop of blood on the tip of his nose.
It dropped onto the porcelain white sink and rippled out, then drew back together unnaturally, like a band of orcs reforming on the battlefield. Chris looked at that one little drop. A cosmos, a drop of life. Cells, atoms, protons, neutrons, electrons, quarks. Where does it end? If the universe is infinitely expansive, should it not be infinitely minuscule? And when you reach the tiniest boundary, find that it is actually the shell of the known universe. He stared at the blood on his hand. It looked smaller, as if his body had already begun to soak it up, an intelligence beyond his blending with his own. Infected, that is what he was. From his studies, he figured he had 24 to 48 hours before he was fully transformed. Into what? Would his mind fight it? Would he even exist anymore, or would he be bent to the will of the cells now spreading through his hand, his arm? He thought of those hippies in the 60s, the anticipation of some crazy acid trip to come on. You have one day left. What do you do? First he scrubbed, and scrubbed, and scrubbed. That was some show in there. You okay? Lil shook up. Well, yeah, he turned almost completely into a liquid, then regained his form as if nothing had happened. You should see the video we took. Looked like Niagara Falls of blood. Think we made science history, but probably never show that one in ninth grade history class, Mr. Dark chuckled. Guess that answers our heart theory. A stake in the heart seems useless. Maybe not. It may be his state. We found that when he sleeps, he actually contracts in size and becomes more dense. His heart may be the key. Honestly, if he got out of there, I'd try every weapon folklore has to offer. Chris looked at the spot on his hand where the blood landed. I need to see him one more time. Then we need to kill this motherfucker. I'm afraid I can't let you do that. What? Chris threw up his hands. He's in an elevator shaft. All we have to do is open the doors in the daylight and he'll evaporate. The sun is just going down. He's getting more powerful. We could do it right now. It's not the how, Chris. It's the why. Killing him is probably way easier than we realize. It's been a long day. Take some time. Think this over. Go home. Take a rest. Take tomorrow off if you want. Take a couple days. Chris was fuming. He figured he was beat red. He headed for the exit. Go home, take a day off. Take a week off. Quit. Ditch the kid and hit the beach with Karen. Fuck it. I have to see him one more time. Chris turned around and slid into the elevator. He felt guilty, but this was his lab. He could go or do what he pleased, and he was going to walk in there and tell Mark who was boss. Promise not to do the blood thing or I'll turn this place into a tanning salon. Crisp vampire on the menu. Then he felt that familiar smell and gagged. His mouth was dry. He was terrified, even as he felt the new transformation in his cells rejoice at the presence of this demon from hell before him. When the door opened, Chris was at a loss for words and trembling. Welcome to the family, Chris. We've been waiting. The family? Ah, yes. We are not alone. We are a family. We are all independent of each other, but live in the same world, so to speak. We have the same home. Chris turned. What the? Behind him in the hall, two identical-looking boys stood looking at him. They had pathetic-looking bowl cuts of brown hair, ear length. Cold ivory skin sat around dark eyes. Chris blinked, and they were gone. Those are my boys. Your family now. Chris had never seen the zombie children before. Now their faces were burned into his mind. His cousins? Chris remembered his face shield covered with droplets of blood. The blood, he squeaked.
Oh, yes. Won't be long. Should have been much more careful, but what's coming, I think you'll quite enjoy. You should be along, though. Say goodbye to what is yours. And, Chris, do not try to destroy me.
He almost hit a car on the way home. Was he driving? Where was he going? It was raining, he could barely see, and didn't swerve until he heard the horn of the dairy truck coming the other way. He was going over it in his head. He needed those doors gone. C4 would be ideal, but he couldn't make that in his kitchen. Detonation wave travels like an exploding sun at a speed of 2-3 miles per second, a dazzling interaction of ammonium nitrate and fuel. The wave causes the ammonium nitrate in the fertilizer to vaporize. Nah, it's gotta be the mother of Satan, triacetone triperoxide. The blast is more efficient for the application. 2 kilos in a backpack should be fine. Hell, maybe both of them. If you could blast Hitler in the face and save millions of people, would you? The buzzer rang as he stumbled into Don's Hardware. We're closing at 10. No problem, Chris smiled. Some of this, some of that, a lot of acetone. He hadn't made explosives since he was a kid on the farm with his cousins. They did blow a pig 60 feet high. It was sick and dying, but he couldn't sit down for a week when they got caught. It's a part of what got him interested in chemistry, the power. Those kids on the farm knew a whole bunch of ways to blow up a whole bunch of things. Chris found a $2 alarm clock for a detonator. It was real easy. Just set the alarm, drip the wires off the speaker, and plug those into the mother of Satan. When the alarm goes off, everyone within the blast zone will have a nice long sleep. An alarm for death. The guard may be killed or maimed, but they switch at what, 7:30? Bingo. That'll work. They had an oxygen reader at T7. If he could place that with the explosives by the door, it should blow them open. In such an enclosed space, it's a wonder what the blast waves would do. It may, it hopefully, would kill Mark, if that bastard can die. While working at the CDC in Atlanta, Chris had reviewed some papers on toxic shock syndrome. Chemical interactions, materials, blast coefficients, it was all there. He should have a toxic concoction by the morning. He had all the ingredients he needed, but he needed a few elixirs for himself now. He knew nothing of the local bars. He hoped to find one that wasn't too redneck. As he drove, he pondered the possibility of an antidote. It was raining hard now. He missed a corner and ended up in a ditch. It could have been worse. It could have been better. He sat and thought for a second. Nothing really mattered now. DUI? Bring it on. Reckless driving ticket? Yes, please. He stared at the windshield wiper as steady as a heartbeat. Perhaps yes. Get arrested. Go sit in jail until the sun melts you. The cells. In sunlight, like a sped-up video of a butterfly wing decaying. Boom. Gone. He could try an antidote on himself, but it was years away from being ready. It was possible, but without tests and perfecting it, he'd likely destroy himself. Destroy himself. That may be the answer. The only answer. Might as well have one good last encounter with a girl and some smooth sipping whiskey. What would Karen think? Well, there are a lot worse things she could be considering. He stared at her neck. How could anyone's collarbone be so sexy, the rest of the package explosive? They had studied some cells, reviewed findings, and man, did he turn on the charm. Chris didn't believe in soulmates, but after seeing her, an infinite universe, electrons and protons constantly dancing, interacting, repelling, and attracting. How could our own field not attract its opposite and equal? Its own resolution to dissonance. The only release for Chris would be her. Her skin, her breath, his hands on her breast, his seed in her belly. Then he could sleep. Then he could breathe. Rejection so painful, the energy was overwhelming. She wanted it. He wanted it. Girls could turn it off in a second if any of the parameters were inadequate. That's how he felt since. Shamed. Less than.
You don't have what I need. Plus you're married.
His tongue was down her throat. Her hips moaned in want. Her lips met his. Her hands pulled his hair. Then it died. Instantly. Painfully. The Divine Comedy. That was the last time he saw her. A one-day meet-and-greet of 4 hours, shared some studies on Mark, and had a make-out session in the elevator at T7. She transferred after that. Her image haunted him, and yet, a small part of him was proud he still had the knack to get a girl in a matter of a few hours. Chris pulled up to a honky-tonk on the edge of town, his secret life complete. He loved an unrepentant, distanced co-worker. He may be infected by a vampire virus older than Christianity and was about to brew pounds of unstable explosive in his basement. The wheels of life spins quickly. What the hell? Here we go. He turned off the car and walked inside with his head down. What's the best scotch you got? Well, it's the most expensive too. What you think of that? Give me a shot and keep the bottle out. He was a beast of a man. A beard from his neck crowded his face. He wore a checkered flannel and overalls. He eyed Chris up and down.
Mister, this is $18.50 a shot. I'll need your ID first.
Chris pulled out 3 crisp $100 bills from his wallet and slid them across the table. Bearman picked one up and held it to the light. One for her, too, Chris said, pointing to a semi-washed-up lady single at the end of the bar. Scotch was Chris's favorite drink. The beast of a man poured the shot glass full, careful not to spill a drop, and gently placed it before Chris. He then went down the bar and poured one for the girl as well. She looked at him and he raised his glass to her. She smiled and tipped hers to him. This should be easy. He brought the glass to his lips, down the hatch.
What the?
It was the most disgusting thing he had ever tasted. He blew it out in a mist. The scotch sprayed the wall of liquor bottles behind the bar.
Easy there, boy.
I think that stuff's going bad. Liquor don't go bad, son.
He should know that. He knew all the processes of distilling. Once it was done fermenting, it was done.
That's the best you got?
Hell, that's the best they make.
The bartender wiped up the mess with a rag, muttering, "Lightweight," just loud enough for Chris to hear. The girl got up and went to talk to a couple playing pool. Let's try McGillie's. McGillie's was his favorite, aged 25 years with a slightly fruity taste, a tad syrupy, and a perfect hint of smoke. Smooth and tasty. The giant beaver poured a glass. Chris thought of Karen. Maybe he should just go home.
Mister, if you can't swallow this one, you'll have to leave.
He brought the shot glass to his nose and inhaled. He spilled half of it on himself as he almost vomited.
What the hell was going on?
You know what sounded real good?
Hey, you got any red wine?
He choked on the words as soon as they were out of his mouth. Red wine. Blood red wine. Sounded delicious.
Listen here, buddy. My job's to serve people booze, but you come in here pulling my leg. This look like a place that serves wine. We got beer and the hard stuff. You looking for some queer California bar, you're in the wrong place.
Chris took 100 back from the pile he had put out. He figured in 20 hours or so, money would be useless to him. He took 100 to hit the grocery store for some boxed wine.
We good? The bartender was getting a nice tip.
I'm fine.
Some people. If I vamp out, I'm coming here first. But that couldn't happen. He couldn't let it. He still had free will, or so he supposed. He failed with the only girl worth looking at. He cut his losses and headed home. The first night wasn't bad. He smelt like booze but said it was just from work. They had a delicious roast for dinner. Karen looked fantastic.
"Careful with that wine," she laughed, sparkling. "You may have a hangover tomorrow."
After Karen went to bed, Chris got out the bags from the hardware store and took them into the basement of the Pearson house. There was one light down there, and it was spooky. Chris didn't mind. He was going to be the spooky one in a minute. There was an old rickety table down there he pulled under the light and got to work. It didn't take long. He had some dry ice in the freezer. He was done, and it was barely midnight. It would set up by morning. He had a large backpack he was going to put it into. He covered his mixtures and looked at his watch. 12:15. He opened the alarm clock and stripped the wires. The alarm was set, and at 12:25 the alarm went off. He saw two small sparks where the wires touched. Perfect. He set the alarm for 7:30 a.m. It was Friday night. He would have to go to work tomorrow, a Saturday, but he often worked Saturdays. He would place the explosives on his way out and would not be kissing the vampire goodbye, but would rather, hopefully, be blowing him to smithereens and leaving him exposed to a beautiful sunny day. Mr. Dark be damned. It had to work.